designed to encourage, empower, and educate real estate professionals by sharing best practices from business leaders that are proven winners. I'm your host, Kyle Malnati, and this is Calibrate Real Estate.
Broadcasting from the Mile High City, thank you for tuning in to the Calibrate Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Malnati. Our esteemed guest today is Rob Zaberski. Do not ask me how to spell that because I'm looking at it and it's still difficult for me to spell. But Rob Zaberski lives in Illinois, is one of the partners of Freedom Personal Development. His business partner, Roger, started it over 20 years ago, and Rob joined him about 10 years ago. What they do is they travel around the country helping people become a better version of themselves. I am holding in my hands a book that both Rob and his partner Roger wrote called Master Your Mind. I have loved reading it, and we're going to dive right into the content. Rob, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to interview you today. And let's get talking right away about this client, Mary, the top producing realtor. You wrote a chapter that resonated with me called Mastering Your Environment, and it's all about decluttering. Yep. I will tell you, the top producing realtor and all of our audience members, the funniest thing is the realtor's passenger seat isn't for people. It's for books and receipts and, yesterday's lunch and the stuff you need to recycle and all these other things. So let's talk about decluttering and why we hold on to stuff and what you've learned working with someone like Mary and then others that are top performers, but they really need to declutter and what that growth looks like on the other side of decluttering.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Mary's a dear, dear friend of mine. We've actually gone to some retreats and some training together. So I've known her on a personal level as well as professional level. And yeah, she's literally one of the top producers in the state of Wisconsin. She was the president of the Wisconsin Real Estate Association. I mean, she's held every post, right? And she's got two kids and she's happily married. And like most people listening, and it was really fun. Like in the court, it was probably over a glass of wine or something. We were chatting. I'm like, Mary, how do you do this? Like I'm busy in what I do and my front seat isn't as bad as yours, but like I got a lot going on. And it's funny. She's like, here's the deal. And I wrote about this. She goes, what's interesting is, yes, I'm blessed. I've got, Pete, her husband is a wonderful support. He picks up a lot of slack at home so that she can focus on work. But, she gets into the groove, right? Or maybe it's the groove, maybe it's the rut. We'll talk about that later. But she's like, I go and go and go. And all of a sudden I look down and my desk is like Beirut in the 80s. Like it's destroyed. And every now and again, every couple months, I take a look at that and it brings stress into my life. It's just like, it's a mess and I can't operate like that. So I'll just, maybe it's a Saturday, I'll come in, I'll just take a couple hours and I'll just clear it out. Right. And I'll clean up my desk and organize. And this was my absolute favorite part of the conversation. And I would love to be able to like make this stuff up, but you can't. She's like, here's the craziest thing of all. She's like, I'm super dialed. My systems are dialed. My processes, my script, and all that back end stuff is dialed. She goes, every time I clean my desk, I find a couple $1,000 in business. It's like a lead that somebody I got introduced to months ago that they were due for a follow up, and it literally got lost in this shuffle, or closing statement, or there's something. Or she's like, literally, sometimes I find checks. People wrote me a check. They owed me money from months ago and I threw it on my desk. I literally find money in my mess. She's like, so it's not like I go into my day going, all right, how are we going to make my desk messy today? She goes, but I know that it's just okay because eventually I'm going to have a clean out day. And I know that every time I clean my desk, there's somewhere between a couple hundred and a couple $1,000 just waiting to be found.
Oh man, I love that because every person that's listening is doing one of three things. They're either nodding in agreement, they're laughing their heads off, or they're grimacing a little bit because they're like, oh boy, he just poked me there. He just struck a nerve. And I would say every single one of us knows this, especially if you've produced something and amass something that all of a sudden you're like, I got all this important stuff. I don't want to lose it. Or I've got this deal that's really complicated. I need all these notes and all these things. So what my follow-up question would be, and I'm sure that you've developed this process, is what's the process for one, knowing it's gotten out of hand, And two, really giving yourself the permission to either throw things away or recycle things. And I remember a concept in the book, and this is something that really touched me, is that there's this concept of this really, really productive person that's amassing all of these articles and all of these books. And it starts to stress you as you've got this to-do list, this reading list. And as you look over my shoulder, there's a big book of, or a big bookshelf of books that I've read. And some of them I've got notes in and I enjoy and I read over and over again because they're just that evergreen, that timeless. But others, I'm like, I'm never really going to get to that one. And so if someone's really looking at decluttering because they've been productive and they want to either find the literal $1,000 check that they forgot to deposit or the figurative lead that they just, you know, needed to dust off a little bit, how do you help someone start that process? Because I think it's kind of paralyzing just to even start.
For sure. And right, wrong, or indifferent, I'll be honest with you. More often than not, the impetus for getting started, it comes from an external source, right? It's the spouse going, honey, I would love to be able to use the dining room table. Or it's the team member that goes, hey, like, I can't even open the door. Or the kids that's like, hey, mom, can I sit in the front seat instead of the back seat? Because, like, you know what I mean? So, like, so either, like, if it's done internally, that's awesome. And maybe it's scheduled. I always recommend, you know, have cleanup day, you know, for the independent contractors that are out there. I know myself, and go, like, I've got accounting day. It's one of my least favorite days of the month, but it's the day that I set aside to go through and update QuickBooks. And I'm off topic, but I'm not. But you're like, one of the things you're talking about is like the, I'll get to it pile, right? The, oh yeah, I'll get it. I joke with people, it's usually sits back here, like right out of the periphery. So you can't see it in your day to day. And then a lot of people get stuck. This is not my term, but I like using it. Like, a lot of people spend so much time shooting all over themselves. And I'm going to say that slowly to make sure that you understand that it is PG. It's shooting all over themselves. Like, oh, I should be reading that. I should spend more time doing this. I should get to that. I should do this. And just be kind to yourself first and foremost, right? It's, if you've done a proper job, if you're clear on what you want, why it's important to you, if you've structured things like core values and purpose and vision, then you have you've got a great map or compass to be operating from. And that in of itself helps you stop shooting all over yourself. That being said, there's a tactical aspect to decluttering. And we actually teach, this is part of our, one of the programs we do is we call it Reading Smart. So it's all about how to read faster with higher comprehension. One of the ways to absorb or intake more information is to eliminate the clutter. And one of the analogies I use is, it's like, if anyone has like, you know, I'm sure realtors never deal with like the unruly bushes, right? If anybody's got like the rose bush, like Jason Edwards, I know you just interviewed him recently, good friend of mine. He just did a weekly blog post talking about how they literally trim these rose bushes down to almost nothing, but they know that they have to do that in order for them to grow back fuller and more healthy. Same thing goes with your input sources. There's a lot of stuff that we feel like we should be reading or absorbing, and the reality is it's not going to hurt us if we don't. So there's a process that we walk people through, and basically it entails carving out some time. But the key steps are, number one, grab everything that you want to be reading. I think this is the question you're asking me, is like, what's the process, right? And I know it took us a minute to get there.
No, absolutely. You're right. You're right on. Step one, gather all your materials you've accumulated and put them into one pile.
Yep. Grab it all. So, and you may like, this is, I'm talking definitely about like, you know, like paper books, articles, like online stuff that you can use the same approach, but we're not going to cross-pollinate.
Yeah, your physical world. And that was the big thing, is you're decluttering your mind by mastering your environment. So this is the physical world. Literally, as I look out on my desk over my computer top, I see a pile on a chair and no one can sit in that chair, but I got another chair someone else can sit in. And it's become one of those things. Yeah. Rob, I'm it. I'm there and I'm productive.
You're the man. I'm looking at you, but I'm talking to everybody.
You can call me Mary. Okay.
All right. So Mary. So number one, just gather everything that's on your, I need to get to it list. Right. And put it all in one giant pile. All right. And then what you're going to do is you're going to go through individually and you're going to give everything you're going to scale it on a scale of 1 to 10. You're going to rank it 1 to 10. A 10 is like, if I don't read this, I'm going out of business and I'm homeless and I'm broke and I'm miserable. Like, a 10 is absolutely mandatory to do your job and succeed. A 1 is like the old joke that you got emailed back in college that you didn't want to save the email, so you printed it off and you're holding on to it just in case there's a good time to use it. Like, it's not going to bring any value to you. It's funny. It's been used. So anyway, scale of 1 to 10, and you want to go through every single piece of information in that pile, and you put it in its own corresponding score pile. So you got a 1 pile, a 2 pile, a 3 pile, a 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Here, I'm going to streamline the process for you. What I tell people is, here's the punchline. Anything that's like a 6 or lower, throw it in recycling or call, shred it or whatever. Because if you haven't read it up till now, you ain't going to read it. So just remove that stress. Stop. Just done. Just be done. Just be kind to yourself. Anything that's a 7 or higher, you'll hold on to. So again, what I was going to say is, you can have a 1 through 6 is one pile, 7, 8, 9, or 10 are its own piles. And then what you'll do, once you've got those in place, then what you do is, in working with your quote unquote time management approach, you know, when you're scheduling your week, one of the things that we absolutely coach people on is carving out proactive, we call it excellence time. This is time that you dedicate to improving yourself personally and professionally. I talk about it. The activities that you do in excellence time make you better, stronger, smarter, faster. So when you have excellence time, that's when you dive into your 7 and higher piles.
I would imagine as you've gone through all of this, you've probably figured out kind of the ratio of how much of this stuff gets pitched or thrown away or recycled or donated versus how much of it gets kept. And so for the person, and I'll admit I've been this person at times, but then I've also been the absolute opposite. I kind of, and this is the entrepreneurial journey, I think, you know, we've got weeks or maybe a couple of days within a week where we're up at 5:30, we're getting our workout, we're doing our affirmations, we're reading, we're like, oh, doing everything
and crushing it.
Super crushing it. And then Friday, you're on the couch, 5 beers in, bag of Doritos on top of you, or for me, and there was literally a time where I realized I needed to clean up my health, where I had like 8 or 9 Halloween mini candies. By the way, that equals at least 1 bar of candy. Yeah. If you're eating chocolate, my wife comes down and she's like, this is like 9 o'clock. The kids are up to bed. And she's like, what in the world just happened to you? I'm like, I gotta change things. And this is years ago, but okay. So for the person that is either like, I'm going to throw everything away, like that's not the solution, right? That's the 100% throw away, versus the person who's like holding on to everything is like, okay, everything's a 10. Okay. A few things a 9. And then I've got like, I have one little pile here. That's my 1s. Yeah. What do you think the realistic, if you're coaching someone, attrition rate is of being able to recycle some of the stuff? What percentage?
Dude, you know, the rules, 80-20, right? 80% of your 80% of your knowledge is going to come from 20% of the stuff that comes in. So that's, you know, that being said, there's some numbers for you, right? There's a baseline. And then, not to overcomplicate the answer, but you know, there's an ebb and a flow in our life and our business, right? There's new trends, there's new ideas, and some, you know, when a new trend or a new technology comes along, you may have to, there may be a couple, some new research you got to do, and you may have to spend a little more time getting up to speed on things. But then when you're done, like, move on. You know, get, once it's done, when the analogy, I learned this when I played basketball as a kid, growing up, and we had one coach, he was awesome. He's like, you need to treat this game like an Italian race car driver. And I share this concept with people, with coaching clients all the time. And like, what's that? I'm like, the Italian race car driver does not have a rearview mirror, right? It's not because, now listen, it's not because he doesn't take value from learning what happened in the race. He's not focused on what's going on behind him. He's focused on where he's going and winning the race. You take value and, you know, you take the information that you learn and you read and you absorb, and that's awesome. And hopefully you apply it, and then be focused on moving forward, not what's going on behind you.
Gosh, I love that. I've heard the analogy that, and I literally did this for my team. I measured the rear view mirror and measured the windshield in my car. And literally, so this is like an old pastor thing. I mean, you'll hear like, you know, the rear view mirror is this small and your windshield is this big. So spend the appropriate amount of time. That's your ratios, hot. Right? Well, and it was interesting. So, you know, if you just think of a pie of 100, the rear view mirror literally took up 5% of the space that I was looking at. And then 95% was the windshield. Obviously the rear view mirror covers a part of the windshield. And I actually went to my team and I said that as we were approaching the end of last year and looking into this year, I'm like, stop thinking about what happened, good or bad. And for me, it was particularly a very good year. And it was kind of one of those things like reset, let's go, let's reload. And then for others, if you had a crummy year or something that didn't work out, it's like, just forget it and slough it. So I've never heard the Italian race car driver, because that's great. It's like, just throw out the rearview mirror altogether. Yeah. I think you had a quote in your book, and this is right at the end of the Mastering Your Environment chapter. I'm on 159, and it resonated with me. It's a passion of mine. It's why we call our company the real estate brokerage firm Calibrate Real Estate here in Denver. Rob, you said, anytime you experience a failure or a miss or a loss, ask how that outcome could potentially be the best result possible. Now that's I'm sure a very learned thing, right? I mean, that's not natural. And I know it to be very successful, a very successful trigger. What does that mean to you? And then how do you help your clients really focus on failing forward, which is a book that I've got right over my shoulder by John C. Maxwell.
Yeah, that's a great, it's all about growth versus fixed mindset. I do this all the time with a client, because I work with a lot of realtors. I work with a lot of insurance agents, financial advisors, people who are client facing, people who get know a lot, people who get a lot of think about it. And those end up in their mind because of the runaway brain we'll talk about. It's monkey brain, monkey mind, whatever you want to call it, runaway brain. They end up in the spiraling vortex of death, and they're like, oh my God, I screwed up. I feel, what didn't I do? And literally just stop, just taking a second to go, okay, so that happened. Great. Like, how is this the best result that could have happened to me? And sometimes it's as simple as, cool, now I know what never to do again. And like, there's value in that lesson. And it's sometimes the easiest answer, it's the right answer. So that's why I getting in the habit of practicing that, it'll move you from, cause often that spiraling vortex of death, I jokingly call it, that'll keep you stuck. That'll move you into a fixed mindset real quick. And that has a ripple, your thinking has a ripple effect on everything in your life, right? So you have positive thoughts. We're going to get a little hippy dippy woo woo here, but like, you have a positive thought, it's got a ripple effect. And you put that out there. You have negative thoughts, same thing. You put that out there, it's going to attract more negative thoughts. And so people stay stuck just by virtue of, I didn't get a yes. I got, so that's automatically a no. I screwed up. It happens every time, yada, yada, yada. So just taking a second and reframing things and just putting things, adding a different perspective. That's one of my core values is perspective. There's always another way to look at it. Right, wrong, indifferent, there's just always another way to look at it. There's always someone somewhere that's likely going to have another perspective on that. So let's check that out.
Well, and if you ever need to get another perspective, go volunteer your time doing something with some charitable organization, because all of a sudden that will reset you in an amazing way. Yeah. Before we go past this topic, I just want to recap for our listeners the idea that you can reduce at least 70% of what you've accumulated. And it can be positive stuff. It can be books you want to read, articles, magazines, trade journals, all this good stuff. But you're going to have to slough it away. And here's the step-by-step process. You're going to gather everything. That's step one. Step two, you're going to rank it. Every piece is going to get a 1 to 10 rating. Step three, you're going to take everything rated 6 or lower and throw it away, recycle it, donate it, whatever. And then step four is, this is going to be in your 2-hour solution, which is identified in chapter 9. You're going to take those 7 and aboves and use those during your excellence time. And then step five, enjoy the extra time, knowledge, and experience that comes with spending the right amount of time reading the right kinds of information that keep you on track with what you want to achieve. I know we've talked about all that, Rob, but I just wanted to recap it before we move on to our next thing. And I want to share with you a story that's actually going to be a good bridge between that last concept and our next concept. So last year was a tremendous year for me personally and professionally. Just a couple of quick little highlights, and this is not to pat myself on the back. I did my first mission trip to Mexico. It was awesome. And I'm not talking about a mission trip in Cancun on the beach. I'm talking about like legit. We were in Juarez. We built houses. It was amazing. This amazing group called Missions Ministries, based here in Colorado, built some houses. It was an awesome time. My wife and I bought a dream piece of property, lakefront property in the mountains of Colorado, which is actually very rare. You're in the Midwest where lakes are abundant, lakes are everywhere. But, you know, folks that come here to Colorado from the Midwest, they kind of look around, they go, where's all the lakes? It's like, we're High Plains desert here. I mean, there's not a lot of water. And if it is, it's snow melt that happens. So this is just picturesque. We bought that property, closed on it on our twin's birthday. I also surpassed my 2018 production by June of 2019. So like the rest of the year was all gravy. I mean, it was like afterburners were going. It was like, woo woo, let's make this happen. So it was awesome. I will say though, and this is the bridge to the next conversation about a coaching client that your partner Roger worked with, but we'll talk about it because it's in the book, Travis Rizvold. So when we talk about this, the next step here is I had an experience at the end of December where I was working on a particularly tedious deal. I'm a visionary. I like to think big picture. And so tedious stuff really pulls me down. And I was just getting pulled down by all these inspection items. I had to go get a piece of lumber for some punch list items that were necessary to close on the property because the buyer was demanding it. My contractor was already out there. This piece of lumber was 25 minutes away. I'm like, I'll save you time. You get on site, you get your stuff going, and I'll bring the piece of lumber. I get to this point where I take a photo of the lumber and the lumber store, text it to my clients who are actually in the South Loop in Chicago, just to hey, say, hey, we're doing the thing, we're making it happen today. And I put the lumber, it's huge, 8 feet long by a foot wide. I mean, this big old piece, put it in my SUV, get in the car, I'm driving away. Drive about 15 minutes, I get a phone call from my business manager and our podcast producer, Kayla Davis, who's been on our podcast many times and sets up all of our interviews. She's talking to me about different business items, and all of a sudden the call drops. I'm like, oh, that's kind of funny. And then I notice my podcast doesn't turn back on, because that's usually, if I drop a call, that's what happens, is the podcast turns back on that I was listening to. That doesn't turn on. Then all of a sudden I look at my Apple Watch, and my phone's out of range, and I was like, oh my goodness, I took that photo of the piece of lumber. Where's my phone? I put it on the hood of my car when I was putting the lumber in the back. I drove literally 4 miles with my phone sitting on the hood of my car. I make a turn and I'm on a 5-lane highway, 2 lanes on either side, turn lanes and all that, called Parker Road, and ditched it in the middle. Long story short, we did the Find My iPhone app, found it. It was in the middle of the road. I had to drive, no phone, to the next appointment. My coworker's there. We figure out all this stuff. We get back to the phone. It's 2 hours later because of all the back and forth and having to locate it. And my phone is shattered into 4 pieces in the middle of the road. It literally, you can slice an iPhone into 4 pieces. The worst part of this story is not all of that, is that I get to Apple later, and the proverbial question they always ask you is, when was your last backup? And I sat there and I was like, I think it was sometime in the last couple of months. I don't remember, but I had that mission trip and I remember downloading all my photos and saving them to an external hard drive. It had been exactly a year and 3 weeks. November of 2018, and this was December of 2019, my entire photo gallery from the past year was gone. Now, I had a bunch of photos. I've got some syncing mechanisms with my computer. I had downloaded several of them, but I hadn't backed my phone up. So literally the last year was erased. That super productive year was erased. And I had this weird inner peace. My wife was talking to all my coworkers. She works here in the company. She's like, I think Kyle's going to freak out. Like, we're wondering like when it's going to happen. Like, when's he going to explode? Like, everything's gone. And I take pictures of everything because it helps me remember what, where I was and what I was doing. And it was this weird inner peace. Nothing changed. I was still the same productive person. I still had the year that I had, but that year was gone. It was in the past. And so we're going to talk about this next story with Travis. Travis kind of holding on to some of his smaller clients, some of his lesser clients. And I think that's something that happens after you've kind of realized that you've made it to a certain degree and you're no longer a rookie in your profession. And I really resonated with this story where Travis was high producing investment advisor and was still going through and calling all of his clients, calling past clients that were really kind of like not really interested anymore. And what he found out, and you already mentioned it, is the 80-20 rule, that really 80% of his production was coming from a smaller 20% of his clients. And Travis really needed to embrace the fact that he was no longer a rookie. So when you're working with a top performer that's made it after 4 or 5 or 6 years, how do you really help them and give them the permission to start saying no? And that's the chapter that I really enjoyed here. This next chapter we're going to talk about is called The Fine Art of Saying No, because that's the other idea of reducing things. So how do you work through the idea that you got to start saying no, because we've all said yes,
right? And so it doesn't happen overnight. First and foremost, there's a little bit of work we do, and so this is a lot of the work we do with our clients, and I would argue we do a really good job at this. Is in order there, and there's a book out there kind of along the lines called The Subtle Art of Not Giving an F.
Yes.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's funny. I get about once a week, I get a call for an email from a client. They're like, dude, is that you? Like, you know. But anyway, it's all like, in order to say, here's the end result. I was going to say punchline, but I don't want to sound like Gary Vee. In order for you to say no, in order for you to, quote unquote, stop caring, in order for you to care less, you have to be hyper-focused on what is most important to you and why. And that isn't like, you don't just wake up one morning and go, okay, this is it. Like, no, there's some work. You know, this is understanding what you stand for as a human being. I know you and I talked about this earlier. In what I do, I take concepts that get a ton of lip service, and I help people understand how to apply them in a way that works. So when I say things that get lip service, I'm talking about understanding, truly understanding and having clarity on what your core values are and what you stand for as a human being. That's paramount. That's the foundation that your life and your business get built on. Understanding your purpose. That's a big one. Once people get clear on why they were actually put on this earth, that helps them make decisions a lot faster. It helps them find yes when it makes sense, and helps them find the no when it makes sense to say no. And then having clearly defined goals that are energizing, like those three things, core values, purpose, vision and goals kind of go together. I mean, they don't go together, but I'm going to put them together. Those are the things that when you're operating from that place, when that is the focus, the no's become so much clearer and so much easier and unapologetic. That's what I tell you. People become unapologetically purposeful is one of my favorite terms. And that comes from spending way less time focusing on the how and the what they do, right? You talk about Travis and I'm imagining a lot of the listeners right now. You probably got a list of all the stuff you got to do, right? I got to make the calls. I got to set the appointments. I got to return the emails. I got to fill out the offer letters. I got to. It's all this tactical nitpicky stuff. And like, that's the draining stuff. Like when you're focused on all that stuff that you got to do, that what leads to you, like that's when you end up eating 9 Halloween minis on the couch after 5 beers because you're just mentally exhausted and you got nothing left in the tank. I say that lovingly, but when you're like, so what I tell people is spend way less time focused on that how and what stuff, spend way more time focused on why you do what you do and why what you want is important to you. It creates a pull strategy. And then again, get a little hippy dippy woo woo. You start incorporating things like law of attraction. You start incorporating things like visualization. You start incorporating things like what you see is what you look for. Reticular activating system. All of a sudden, those goals, they start chasing you down instead. So I think we're a little in the weeds, but I think we're still on topic here. But as far as help, one of the other things I tell people, especially when they get to the level you're talking about, like I'm not a rookie anymore. Right, I'm not living paycheck to paycheck. I understand what it means to run this business. I know what it means. I got stuff in the pipeline. Like I'm running a business. What I see a lot of people run into is separating themselves from what I call the hardworking farmer syndrome. And I grew up in Illinois. I actually grew up in a farming family, so this one is super near and dear to me. You get people who, it goes back to the shooting all over yourself. They feel like if they're not doing some activity, then they're not moving in the right direction. And that activity is calling the client that you know you're not going to get a yes out of. Well, I'll just put you in the tickle file. I don't tickle people. I train people. And like, I don't know, that's the tickle file, that's a whole nother conversation. That's ridiculous to me. But anyway, like, it's all these little piddly things that don't actually move you towards your goal. They're just things that you feel like you need to do to keep moving. You're not actually, you're moving, but you're moving in circles. You're not moving in the direction of your goals. So yeah, learning to say no and understanding that a no comes from clarity in what the big picture thing is you're chasing down. It becomes a lot easier then. And then letting go of that hardworking farmer syndrome.
I really appreciate that you talked about the hardworking farmer syndrome, because actually in the book, both you and Roger, Rob, you both go through the concept of, this is actually an eight over thousands and thousands of years of evolution, where people, if they got excommunicated from their tribe, if they got kicked out off the island, if you will, to use the reality show example, if you got kicked out of the tribe, like, you literally, you were sentenced to death if you were exiled. And so there's a part of us innately, and I really connected with this because I've never heard of it this way, that innately you want to please others, you want to be doing meaningful work, but you also just want to be producing something, because the leaders of the tribe, we're going to keep you if you're producing a widget, if you're doing something. And I think what ends up occurring is, as you go from rookie to maybe producer or leader, and that's a very interesting evolution, it's very difficult to let go of some of the stuff that got you there. And the classic book, the classic idea of what got you here won't get you there is absolutely apropos. As you discuss in the book about Travis, some of the things that I really connected with, and you mentioned it, I want to really hit on it. Clarity about your core values and your overall vision for your business gives you this strong internal compass. I like that. The other thing that I wanted to just hit on is that systematically upgrading your self-talk. You talk a lot about the shoulds and shoulding all over yourself. My career coach, episode 100 of this podcast, is a guy, Rory Vaden, that would commonly joke about being a shoulda-head. And that's something that I think is really apropos. What he started to do, this guy Travis in your book, is starting taking his self-talk and creating what you call a money magnet. So higher quality clients and prospects started wanting to get on his calendar. So you talk about the law of attraction, about higher quality clients wanting to get on his calendar. This all sounds great. It sounds very aspirational. How does it actually look in practice with your coaching clients, of this idea of really attracting these higher quality clients? Because we know that we're spending that little bit of time with people who are producing the most results. So what does it actually look like in practice?
Yep. And I'm gonna full transparency for those listening, this is going to sound super cheesy. And I'm gonna tell you, it's like the old Bud Light commercial. It's only weird if it doesn't work. And I'm telling you, it works. So here's what that looks like, is I want you to picture, if you're listening, don't close your eyes if you're driving, but like, if you have the ability to close your eyes, close your eyes. And I want you to think about your perfect, perfect transaction. Like, who was that client? What were they wearing? What was their name? What did their hair look like? What was the home? I want you to picture that ideal client, and that's your avatar, right? It's used in marketing all the time. That person is who you are here to serve, and you know you love working with them, and you know you are at your best to serve them. So what I want you to do is you can have an affair with this person if you need to. I want you to love on if it's Jane in Wichita. Right? If it's Chris in Topeka, I don't know why Kansas is so popular, right? If it's Rob in Arlington Heights, I'm cool with that. I don't care. I want you to think about how much you love working with this client. I want you to think about how much of an amazing job you do serving this client, and how easy it is. And every night before you go to bed, you ask yourself the question, how do I take care of Rob from Arlington Heights? Where is Rob? How do I take care of him? And you let that be the last thought you have. And you because what happens is that has to do with your brainwaves. And like, there's a whole thing on brainwaves in the book. I highly like, that's life changing for a lot of people. But you spend time right before you go to bed thinking about practicing gratitude for that avatar and that perfect client. And what I'll do is that'll get your subconscious working for you overnight, where it'll start to actually rewire your brain. I'm not a doctor, but I know what I've read. And it'll actually rewire your brain and get you to start focusing on, and it'll actually make Rob from Arlington Heights or Chris from Topeka or whatever start showing up. And then what that looks like also is taking time in the morning and starting with proper affirmations. Like I'll share mine. Like for me, every morning before I even open my eyes, like, you know, there's that time frame where you know you're awake, but you're not ready to open your eyes yet. You know that it's like that first couple minutes. You get in the habit. Like for me, it's going to be a great day. I'm a money magnet. I have zero emotional attachment to money. It's time to make the donuts. Like that's it. Those are my four lines. And like we work with people all the time. We have them come up with affirmations that support, that get them fired up, support what they want to do. Like my making the donuts one, that's just like, that's my little bit of hardworking farmer syndrome, right? Like I said, I grew up in the Midwest, but like that's just like, that helps me fight through when I'm slogging it out. It's like, it's cool. I'm just making some extra donuts. You know, you remember, I think it was Fred. Was it Fred or Frank? Always made the donuts. Had the dude had the mustache. Dunkin' commercials.
Yeah.
So first part, you know, last thing you do before you go to bed is focus on, think about who are you here to serve and how are you best to serve them, right? Practice gratitude. And then when you wake up in the morning, you have a list of solid affirmations that support what you want, where you go. I am crushing my goals by June of this year. Don't use that after July, but you know what I mean? Like make sure it's supporting what you want. I am consistently producing $10 million. I'm closing $10 million. Rob from Arlington Heights is looking to work with me. You know, I had another guy, he did everything tied to, he was another financial advisor. I'll get off and then back. He changed everything he did to the number 500. And I talked to him a couple months later. He's like, dude, $500,000 clients, I cannot get away from them. He's like, they're literally banging down my door. I had an insurance agent that I was working with, talking about like how this works and how to get it going. Like I had an insurance agent, we got on a coaching call. I'm like, how's it going? He's like, well, I had an interesting start to my day. I'm like, what's up? He's like, well, every day I hand write my goals every day. And I couldn't do that today. I'm like, well, why not? He goes, because I was interrupted. One of my goals was I'm going to write four life insurance policies. He goes, I couldn't finish that. While I was in the middle of writing the sentence, a woman was banging on my door, begging me to open up so she could sign her life insurance policy.
So cool.
Like I would love to be good enough to be able to make this stuff up. But like, this is when you get in the habit of, and it's not a one and done thing. I've been doing I've been making the donuts for about 3 years straight every single day, but I had a year like yours. I didn't get the lakefront property. That's coming next. But I had a killer 2019, and I know it had everything to do with my self-talk.
It's amazing. And the thing that I found very interesting, just to wrap this all up into a bow, and then I'm going to ask you a few questions I ask every guest to actually wrap up our interview. But whether you talk about Travis or Mary, two of the avatars in the book that we've been talking about, I recognize this, that the majority of my production from a gross commission income standpoint was done from January to June of last year. Now, I still worked from July through December, but at, you know, whether it was I was attracting that type of client or that type of deal, and maybe if you think about it as a type of deal as opposed to a person, because I think that's the hardest thing with saying no to certain clients, because you're like, well, they're people, they need help. And maybe there's someone else in your organization or on your team that could help them if they're no longer your A clients. But I really noticed that, I mean, we're talking like 70% of my business was done in those first 6 months of the year. Now, the rest of the year needed to happen to pay for other different things. And you have to do that. But I started to look at it and I was like, wow. As I was looking at the commissions, I was like, this is very, very different. It's very telling and very much the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule at play. Okay, so final couple of questions here. Our mission at Calibrate Real Estate is we exist to help people create generational wealth through real estate. That's our mission. And it looks like a lot of different avatars. But Rob, as you and Roger are working on this book, and I just would love to talk to you a whole different podcast about writing a book, Master Your Mind, why did you write this book? What was the purpose of it? What was your, you know, kind of golden thread throughout the book, or who were you trying to write it for?
Yep. So, and this is, I don't know if you saw the first, like this book is dedicated to, why did I write the book? Because I had for like 6 years, 7 years, I'd be like, when's your book coming out? I don't know. So finally we'd gotten to the point where, Roger had written another book and we'd done really well with it. And it was like we knew there was stuff that we were coaching and teaching that wasn't in that book, but was super impactful. So we're like, all right, what's next, right? Once you understand how to train your brain, like, well, let's talk about mastermind. So where it really came from is in the last couple of years, in the last 2-3 years, we'd really, this concept of slowing down in an effort to accelerate your results. So that was like, that's the theme. Like we had all these funny, like working titles for it that clearly didn't work. But snails and rockets and whatever. But anyway, the underlying theme is really all about like, we go and 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 we go. We call it runaway brain. And when you consistently go, 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 you don't reckon, you have the blinders on and you don't see the opportunity that's sometimes right in front of you. And you don't take the time to work on the little things and get brilliant with the basics and the basic things you need to do to execute your job at a high level. So the golden thread is slow down and focus on the big picture things. Spend, again, way less time on the how and the what stuff, way more time and effort on the why, on the why, you know, the why stuff, and helping people understand how to do that. And so that, you know, we talk about like the landing the airplane, we talk about hiking the football, we talk about, you know, all these different analogies for like, literally, if you don't stop, you know, football, you have the Super Bowl coming up, we just had the playoffs, they have to stand still for 2 seconds before they hike the ball or they get penalized. Like, there's a perfect example of you have to stop in order to move forward. And so that whole so many people get caught up in their day to day that they miss out.
A great example in the book for those of you that still aren't getting it would just be how many of you have gone on, it may be a day trip or it may be a 2-day trip where it involves some plane travel and maybe a stay at a hotel for a business thing, and all of the clarity you get preparing yourself to get to the airport, sitting, waiting in line, kind of having all these like sort of mundane things to get to your destination. And all of a sudden you have all these breakthrough thoughts as you're going through that process because you're literally getting out of your day-to-day environment, going somewhere new, and your brain is just wired to be looking for, okay, there's all these new environments and experiences, and it starts to just fire all these different things. So putting it into your daily practice where you can have these intentional moments where you slow down. Brendan Burchard, the author of High Performance Habits, I read last year, has these awesome triggers just literally with your cell phone where you activate the alarm system of reminders. And this isn't calendar reminders. It's literally the reminders that you have in your phone if you wanted to set an alarm to wake up every day. And he renames them on things that he wants to remind himself. And one is bold, confident, and I can't remember the other one that pops up at 10 in the morning. And it's like, he's like, I have to remind myself to be bold, confident, and energetic, or whatever the three words are. And it was a really, really cool concept. So Rob, next question I ask all of my guests, and it used to be the ending of our show. It's this concept of Dear Younger Me. Comes from a song by the band Mercy Me, excuse me, as I try to speak there. And the idea is you're writing a letter to yourself when you were in your 20s. You know, so now you've lived some life, you've learned some stuff, you got a little gray in your beard, you've got twins, and you've got family and all these different things. What's the advice you wish you knew when you were 22 if you're writing a letter to yourself?
There's never a problem with. In my 20s, you asked me like, man, there's probably a not insignificant number of conversations that started me going, well, the problem is, it's not a problem. It's never a problem. There's another way to look at it, or here's some food for thought. And if like looking back on that, I know that how I started conversations led to a lot of my frustration and anger, and it's just not worth it. So, yeah. Be kind to yourself, be kind to others. Just, yeah, paying attention, spending more time focusing on gratitude. And hey, fun fact, dude, you don't know it all.
I love that advice. And it's all about perspective. It really is. And we talked about that throughout the interview. Okay, last question. And this comes from a place of mourning for sure. But it also just comes from a place of absolute gratitude for a life that was well-lived, that was cut, in my opinion, a little too short. One of our frequent guests on our podcast recently just passed away. And he went through, at the age of 37, went through a process when he was in his 20s. So it kind of connects to this question. And this was his answer to that question when I posed it to him. So Chris, when he answered that question, he told me a little story of a mentoring group that he was in where he had to read a book by Andy Stanley called The Principle of the Path. And in that book, there's an exercise where you actually have to write your own obituary. So we talked about the Dunkin' Donuts commercials. Many of us, you know, from the 80s and 90s may remember the Tombstone Pizza commercials where, what do you want to have on your tombstone? And it's kind of that other legacy question of, you know, when all is said and done and you've gone to greener pastures, you've gone to heaven, and your family is coming up with a eulogy, or they're trying to figure out what to put on your tombstone. Rob Zabersky, what do you want to have on your tombstone? What do you want to be remembered for?
Oh, Rob refused to live a decaf lifestyle.
I love that. Tell me more about what that means for someone who doesn't know you.
Oh man. So I'm a little wild and crazy. I've been known to be a little wild and crazy. We got one run at this thing, right? It's what is it? What are you going to do with this one wild and precious life? Mary Oliver. It's the tail end of her poem. And like, dude, I'm all in, man. And if it's not interesting to me, I'm not going to do it. But when I'm in, I'm all in, because I want the most out of this life I can get. And decaf, like, I love my dirty water.
I love it. I drink it black every morning.
Yeah. And I just, you know, decaf has its purpose, I'm sure. But like, you don't drink it. I don't drink coffee for the flavor, man. Let's rock and roll. And so that's what I want. Like, I want a full gas, a blast in everything I do. People are like, I love your energy. I'm like, I love it too. You should try it. It's fantastic. And so, yeah, that's what it's all about for me. It's just like, not holding back, going all in, no regrets, no rearview mirror. Let's party, man. Not sound like a high, let's party, man. Let's do it. Some fun.
Life should be lived. It should be fun. And Rob, this was a fun opportunity. I really, that's the cool thing, just for a second, as a podcast host, to start to get to meet authors. You know, this started by interviewing high-producing realtors. It'll continue to do that. But being able to connect with people who've written books and have become an authority on a subject is really gratifying for me. I think it's apropos. If someone wants to get Master Your Mind, how do they connect with you? How do they get a copy of the book? What's a great way to just connect with your message?
Yeah, clearly Amazon has plenty in stock, because like it's super cheap on Amazon. I'm psyched and then I'm not at the same time. So go to Amazon, type in Master Your Mind. It's the yellow one. You type in Zabersky. First of all, by the way, Zabersky, it's spelled just like it sounds. Just like it sounds, by the way.
Z-B-I-E-R-S-K-I.
Yeah, type in Master Your Mind, Zabersky. It's a yellow one. Check it out. It was like $12 at the time that we're recording this. Check that out. You can also check out freedompersonaldevelopment.com. It's our website. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on LinkedIn, Instagram, at Rob Z Speaker. On Twitter and Instagram. Connect with me on Facebook and LinkedIn. I'm often sharing fun stuff. If you connect with me on Instagram, you can check out all the ballroom carpets I speak on. I track where I've been by taking pictures of my feet on ballroom carpets. There's some funky stuff out there.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. That's a cool way to like show the perspective of you as a speaker, but then also to poke fun at the yucky carpet that needs to be updated.
I can show you some stuff, man. But yeah, that's the best way. And then, I don't know what goes out with this one, as far as like, if you add to the video and add, you know, all my contact info as well. But, if you go to Freedom Personal Development, there's probably a pop-up, give you an opportunity to grab a copy of, it's our lead magnet thing, right? It's called Get Your Head On Straight. So what it is, it's a super simple process. We call it a personal development prescription. So it's things you can do on a daily, weekly, and quarterly basis to keep that noodle above your neck dialed in and make sure you're stayed focused on the right things and moving in the right direction.
And how do you get that again?
Go to freedompersonaldevelopment.com.
Awesome.
And look for the personal development prescription, or Get Your Head On Straight.
Rob Zabersky, I appreciate your time. This is fantastic. Again, check out his book, Master Your Mind. It's the yellow one, Zabersky with the easy to spell name. I'm your host, Kyle Malnati. Thank you to our podcast producer, Kayla Davis. And as I love to say, we will see you around the neighborhood. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Rate, subscribe, do anything you can on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate it. We're out.